Beginning in verse 15, we find here that Brother Peter writes something to us that I want to share with you very briefly this evening. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Lord, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity to serve you and love you. And Lord, tonight as we are gathered here this evening and we've read from your word and we've sang the blessed hymns of the faith, and Lord, tonight we love you and thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who tonight came to die for our sins. And Lord, tonight as we look into your word, we pray that thy servant might receive the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That, Father, this evening, that all that's said and all that's done will elevate and exalt Jesus Christ. For all that's said, we'll praise you tonight in his name. Amen and amen. Peter wrote 2 Peter primarily. He was talking about false prophets, and he was warning people and about false prophets this evening. In chapter number 3, he deals basically with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that people will mock and scoff in the last days about that the Lord tonight is not coming back, and they'll make fun of those who believe that he is, and we're certainly living in those days. But as he gets here to the final words that he leaves us with, and I guess we could basically say these are the last words that we have recorded of the Apostle Peter, he gives us some instruction tonight about something I think is very important. And this evening I just want to share just a few thoughts with you from these verses of some things that we all need to do. And this evening, especially as we enter the new year, this might be something to remind us all as we go forward for the Lord. And here he begins to talk about something that's very important tonight that we really need to take lessons in and need to take heed of tonight. And the first thing that I want you to notice, that he tells us that we need to remain steadfast. In verse number 17, he said that there's a possibility that somebody could fall from their own steadfastness. Now, how can you fall from your own steadfastness? How can people forgetting and get away from being steadfast in the Lord? Well, he kindly explained it in the verses preceding this. He talked about the Apostle Paul. And he there talked how that in verse number 16, he said, and has also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand. Now, Brother Peter here makes a statement that we need to sometimes take heed to, because I will guarantee as you read the New Testament and Paul wrote to the majority of the New Testament, there are sometimes I have to back up and say, now wait a minute, I got to read that again, because it's sometimes hard to understand what the Apostle Paul was saying. And sometimes it takes a lot of prayer and study and comparing scriptures this evening to adequately understand the Apostle Paul. Not because he deliberately did it. I think tonight it's because tonight God tonight led the Apostle Paul and he inspired the Apostle Paul, and he wants us to study to show ourselves a workman approved unto God. But Brother Peter says that in these words that Paul wrote, And he said that those tonight that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they twist and they turn and they do something with it that's not right. And he said not only those scriptures, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You see, there's a lot of people out there tonight that's twisting and turning and making the Bible say things that it never says. They're making tonight the Bible to be a book tonight that's not the Word of God, but it becomes the Word of men. They're making the Bible tonight to be something for their own selves instead of something tonight that was written by holy men of God. And they rest and they twist the Word of God tonight, and they try to make people tonight and draw people away from God. Brother G warned about them, as we've studied before, how that they would sneak in and they would come in unawares, creep in unawares. The Apostle Paul warned that they would be tonight angels or messengers of light. There's a lot of those out there tonight that are attempting to draw people away from the Word of God. They're attempting to draw people from God tonight. They want to get people from really serving the Lord. I'm sure most of you are aware of the great controversy that was just took place with Phil Robertson, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty family, and his comments about homosexuality and other sins, and how that the A&E television network put him off the show and everything because of his comments that he made. And you begin to look at that, and then you begin to read all of the things surrounding it tonight. And I agree with Phil. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And then I see this and that and all the other, and people trying to twist the Word of God tonight to make it sound and make it and draw people away from the true meaning of the Word of God. You see, this evening we're living in a society that wants to be tolerant of everything but God's Word. And you think about that. We're living in a society tonight that says, if you stand up for the Bible, if you believe the Bible to be the holy Word of God and you take it to be literal, then you're tonight in error. You're intolerant. You're incompassionate. You're a fool. You're a dummy. That's what they're teaching us tonight. One of the thoughts that I had when all this was going on and all the tolerance they talk about, and I'm no Muslim scholar at all. I know just enough about Islam, I guess, to be dangerous maybe. But I have looked at some of their doctrines and read some of their writings. I guarantee you, if they went to a Muslim cleric and asked him what he thought about homosexual marriage, he'd say exactly the same thing Phil Robertson said. And you know what they'd say? That's okay. You're a Muslim. You're a Muslim. You see, they're trying to draw people away from God's Word because God's Word is the only thing that will ever save anybody. And they're trying tonight to take people in churches, people who have been steadfast all of these years, and they begin to sound and make it sound so good. And they make it sound like, hey, you need to be a little bit this way, and they want to begin to move you a little bit at a time. And you have all other kind of people out there tonight that are twisting the Scriptures. I've never seen the like in my time, folks. There's the Bible says there's a time coming when that there would be no shame, and we have no shame in our society tonight. And people are saying, hey, every kind of sin is okay. Everything tonight that we've been taught from God's Word is okay. If it's wrong tonight and it's sin in the book tonight, it's still sin. It hadn't changed. But they want to draw us away from that and point us tonight and say, hey. And I see so many people tonight. I see so many churches little by little by little being moved slowly and slowly and slowly away from God's Word. And what's going to be in 25 years? What's going to be in 10 years? I can't imagine, to be honest with you, how much has changed, and as we've seen changes down through the centuries. And so tonight, we have to be careful. We have to remain steadfast. Because when the church and God's people remain steadfast tonight, then they have a message to deliver to a world. Yes, as Phil Robertson said, God condemns homosexuality. And this sin begets other sins. But in His compassion, God sent a Savior that can forgive all of those sins and change that person's life. We have to be steadfast tonight. We have to remain on the firing line for God. So important tonight to remain steadfast. One of the things I thought about when I read this, and I guess one of the first individuals that came into my mind was when the Apostle Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Can you imagine Demas, his fellow laborer, and Paul called him in another place, a fellow soldier, a man who had labored right along the side of the Apostle Paul, who had fought the battles with him, side by side, back to back. He was there when the fight started, and he was still there when the dust cleared. And he stayed with the Apostle Paul. But one day, something happened. And he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I wonder what's happening tonight. How many people are going to forsake God, go away from God. And so tonight, the admonishment and the thing that the Apostle Peter is, I think, telling us here in the days of false prophets, the false doctrine, remain steadfast. Don't let somebody twist the Scriptures. Never let them twist the Scriptures. Or when they twist the Scriptures, make it sound like, hey, boy, that's something. Take God's Word and stand upon it tonight. Then he said, grow in grace. And I think he follows the remain steadfast with the grow in grace for a very simple reason tonight. You see, we have to be steadfast, but we don't have to be mean. We don't have to be arrogant. We don't have to be, get down in your face. We grow in grace. You know, we need to preach with grace. We need to pray with grace and love with grace. Because it was grace that saved us. And so we're to grow in grace. Doesn't mean tonight that we get saved more or anything else. I think it just simply means tonight that the grace of God tonight that saved us and the grace of God tonight that we are to exhibit to others and preach to others is to grow in us tonight. You know, sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it makes us mad and we get fighting and angry about some of these things. But we need to understand As the Apostle Paul said, hey, these people are under the control of Satan himself. And we're not just battling flesh and blood. We're battling principalities. We're battling the powers of darkness in high places. And that individual tonight that's under the control of Satan tonight, we need to pray for them and show them and tell them about God's grace tonight. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Amen. Amen. But I think that's why the Apostle Peter is following this in exact order. But grow in grace. Now, how do you grow in grace? Well, I think he answers that with the very next question. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more we know about Jesus, I think the more grace we'll have. And I really believe that. Well, you study him and, you know, it talks about that all the things they did to him. And just for one example, you know, when he was crucified and they beat him and spit upon him and mocked him and all manner of atrocity and beat him with a cat of nine tails. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Charles Wesley said he could have called 10,000 angels. I guess he could have called 10 million angels, but he didn't. He stayed on the cross for you and me. Well, the more we learn about Jesus, I guarantee you the more grace we'll have. Amen tonight. And so we have to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to study his word and read his word and pray and say, God, teaches me today more about Jesus. I think the one thing, if I could say to any individual about discipleship, about Christianity, if we learn more and more about Jesus, I think that all these other things begin to come into place tonight. I really believe that. Because if we tonight grow in the knowledge of Jesus, we'll have grace. We'll be steadfast to the Lord. And then finally, very simply, and he said, to be God be the glory. To God be the glory. See, it's not about what I can do. It's not about everything I can accomplish. But it's tonight to bring glory to him. To bring glory to God. Just to let the world know that I serve the God of glory tonight. That he's mine and I'm his. Amen. And that when everything is said and everything is done, it was all him anyway. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory tonight. I think tonight that the one thing we ought to strive to do is to honor God. And the one thing I want to do, and I don't usually make a lot of New Year's resolutions, you know, because usually those things are not worth any, even the paper I write them on. But the one thing I want to strive to do this year in my heart is to honor God. More than anything else, I just want to honor God. Because I believe if I'll honor God, God will take care of everything else. He's going to take care of everything else anyway. But and I really want to honor God tonight. And I want people to know that I'm on the Lord's side. As we enter this next time of the year, as we enter next year, Let's remain steadfast and grow in grace and grow in knowledge and honor God and bring Him glory tonight. All right, if you'll stand together with me, and Walter, if you and Bruce would come. Appreciate, Lord, thank you tonight for the time we've had. Appreciate these tonight that have come. I pray for these on our sick list tonight, Lord, that you might touch all of them. Give them what they need in this hour. Be with us and lead us and guide us and direct us in Jesus' name.